episode 4 of Asexuals Anonymous, the podcast where we talk all about asexuality. I am with my anonymous asexual friend again. At this point, she is the co-host.
Oh, wow. Official title.
Officially my co-host.
Thank you. I've been promoted.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel like excited.
You're
excited. It's nice, it's good.
It is, it's really fun to have these conversations actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what, like, I never really have the chance to have these conversations because I actually personally only know you and another friend who is asexual.
You're my ace buddy. You're my one and only.
I'm the one and only.
You feel very, very special.
Oh, hopefully that changes soon, though.
No, there's going to be a crew of us, I imagine it. We're gonna take over 2025 Pride. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. And let's manifest it.
Yeah.
Okay, so to start off, please get in touch if you have any questions, any advice, any friends that you think might be asexual or you know are asexual and you're thinking, I would love to know more about this sexuality. You are in the right place, but also feel free to write in to us. Our email is asexualsanon@hotmail.com, or you can contact me on TikTok at amybutler66, AmieButler, or Instagram amybutler96. Please get in touch. We love hearing all the questions and things you've got to say. Equally, if you would love to come onto the podcast and have conversations with me and my anonymous friend, please write in and we'll see what we can do. We would love to, like we say, build a little community and a little gang of us, which would be so nice. And yeah, we would love to just sort of hear other people's stories and see what conversations we can have. And also sort of be that representation, because it is definitely needed. So, to kick us off, I've got some questions that people have asked us already. It's exciting.
We love a question.
And you don't know any of these, which I love.
I also love it, but it does scare me a little bit.
Are you scared?
Yeah,
don't worry. These, I've got a lot of the same vibe, so maybe I'll read out a couple which are the same vibe. So, how do you break the news to a spouse when you didn't even know ace was a thing and you're just figuring it out now? Also, all of these questions I'm keeping anonymous. My favourite word. Because they haven't stated whether they would like their name to be shared. Which is the whole point in this podcast. Just to reiterate that. So yeah, that was the first question.
Oh,
I'm
going to
follow that up with... That's a really hard question, actually. Maybe we'll keep it with that. So how do you break the news to a spouse when you didn't even know ace was a thing and you're just figuring it out now?
I mean, being honest, I actually, since I figured it out, I haven't had to break the news to someone that I'm dating, because I've kind of pressed pause on the old dating thing at the minute. I have actually recently... spoken to an ex about it, because
that's interesting.
We are still in contact with each other. There was never a traumatic ending to the relationship. I actually think that the relationship did break down a little bit, not in a negative way break down, but change because of me being ace but not knowing it.
Yeah.
And what they needed from the relationship and what I was prepared to give to the relationship. And I've kind of recently had that conversation and been like, so listen, just wanted to fill you in. This is where I'm at. This is my vibes. And it was a really nice conversation. And it kind of circles back to what we said about people taking it personally. And I don't think that that's wrong for them to do. Because if someone says, I don't want to have sex with you, you probably would. I think even I would take that personally, even though I wouldn't be... bothered in the same sense.
Definitely.
And it was kind of like I spoke to them and said, by the way, I've recently figured this out about myself, I'm asexual, and they knew what it was and straight away were like, that makes a lot of sense based on things that happened when we were dating. It wasn't necessarily a relationship, it was kind of more of a dating thing, not super serious.
Yeah.
But as the relationship started to get more serious, that's when I started to back off. And she noticed that, and she did say, like, there was a point where I think our closeness changed, and I think that that was at the point where it did kind of get to a point where it was like, right, now would be the time in the timeline to reach that milestone, and we didn't.
Yeah. But then those alarm bells do start ringing, I guess, on both parts.
No, and I said that, and I said, you know what, it would have been, in terms of, like, compatibility, in terms of personalities, in terms of everything else, it was a good relationship, and yeah. I think that that's why we are friends now, but also we are friends as well, because we didn't cross that boundary of having sex with each other. So had that have happened, well, it would have been forced from me. It would have me been like, I feel like I have to do this.
Yeah. Or, like, would you ever have felt that you were doing it for her?
Yeah,
like,
not for
willingly
me.
Being like, I want to do this for you because it's a nice thing and you would enjoy it. So yeah. Not like, oh, I'm going to do this for you, but like, you want to do it for her rather than for yourself, but also, like, in a positive way.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. So that was probably the only time that I have had to, like, kind of break the news to someone. I don't know how I would do it going forward.
Well, with the guy that I sort of had my realization with, after I had Googled on the train home and found everything out, the next step for me was to break it off with him, because one, I was not in a very good place mentally, and that wouldn't have been okay to be in a relationship.
It's not a good idea to start a relationship when
it was very early doors.
Not there. Yeah,
exactly. It wouldn't have been fair on either of us. So I broke it off, and then I said, I can't talk about reasons why, just know that it is nothing to do with you. I promise, I'm just not in a very good place right now.
Do you think that people, I don't know, I feel like people don't necessarily take that, like, when you say it's not about you. And then
it's the classic, isn't it?
And then when you do explain it, so, like, when I did explain it to this girl, it was very much, she kind of, it was like she was grateful, because she was like, it wasn't about her. And she kind of was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't about me. And I was like, no, like, you're great. Yeah. Fantastic. Hope you go out and you find someone and all of that stuff. But it wasn't about you.
Yeah. And I said, I messaged him. And I was like, I really want to tell you what is going on, because it's not fair on you to think that it's you. And so weeks later, I messaged him and said, I'm ready to talk now if you want to and you want to hear me, and I'll explain everything. And so we did. We met up and I explained, like, I'm going through a really hard time now. I'm sort of dealing with the realization that I'm asexual. He was like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I will explain it. And actually, I think for anyone who is sort of telling a partner, or anyone actually, that they are identifying as ace, it's really important to explain what that means for you, because yes, the umbrella definition is lack of sexual attraction. However, that what it means to you differs from person to person. And even if, like, two people both identify as grey sexual, that can still be really different. So it's such a personal
Well, even having
identity.
Conversations just between me and you that we've had, we kind of do come under the same terms in certain areas, but
we're still really different.
Experiences and our wishes
are
different. I mean, in terms of, like, we do both want a relationship in the future, we do both, you know, want to look towards having families and things like that. But if you do go into the more specifics of it, we are really different in what we would want.
Yeah, how we identify as well. And it's just really important. I think the answer, I can't answer this question completely because, one, I'm very inexperienced. and I don't think I'm qualified to answer it, really. But I definitely can have an opinion and can put my advice out there. And that would just be to be very communicative. Just communicate everything. Really, really sit down. Try to explain as much as you can to your partner how you're feeling. And just be as honest as you can be, because I don't think a negative situation can come out of communicating and chatting about
and
things.
And really, if it does turn negative in terms of their reaction or their response to it,
then maybe you're not compatible.
Then that's possibly not the person that you should be with.
And in turn, that's a positive to find that.
Yeah, 100%, definitely. Yeah. I think that, like you said, the only thing that can come out of it is positive. It might be hard and there might be negatives whilst you're in the situation, but when you come out of it and you step back from it, you should be able to find the positives from that.
Yeah.
But
should be in true and honest with yourself as well.
There's not really the right thing to do or to say or how to say or how to react. You just kind of have to figure it out based on your individual situation.
Yeah, there we go. That's our answer.
Great advice.
Another question, which will lead us into one of our topics of conversation we want to talk about today, is... Okay, so the letters LGBTQIA+.
That's a lot of letters.
It is a lot of letters. However, the A stands for asexual, not ally.
Ooh,
discuss.
Oh, that word.
Ally.
I'm
an ally.
Oh. Yeah, we love allies.
We do.
This is not at all. We're not sitting here hate bashing the allies. We're not doing that.
We love the allies.
We need
Please
them.
Be
we
an
need
allies.
The allies. But they do try and take our letter.
They do try and take the
and
A.
Our letter is parked right at the end next to that plus. So we have to fight anyway because
it's
hardly ever said.
Do you know what? Actually, just quickly going back to when I was going through the realisation, one of the things I said to my friends was, we're just a plus. We're just in the corner. We're the extras in the corner that nobody knows about, nobody cares about, and no one feels pride for, or like there's no representation for it. And so I just felt so pushed aside, alone, and not cared about. And I'm so glad that it is in the LGBTQIA+ symbol, although I really do recognise and appreciate the fact that it's a lot of letters.
It's a lot of letters, but just give us our letter. Like, that's what we want. We want a little bit. We want a shout out.
To be fair, I'm a lot less angry about people calling it LGBTQ+. But I do love it when they put the IA on the end,
which I think is actually becoming more common.
Yeah, I do.
I'm seeing a lot more people putting in the effort to say those extra two letters.
I know, and it's nice, isn't it? When they do, you're a bit like, when they do, I'm like,
oh, that's me. You said
they know.
Yeah,
they know.
But I was watching an episode of Law and Order recently.
Ooh, get you.
I love it. Love a bit of Law and Order.
Never seen it.
And there was an episode, and it was. Now I am going to take the fact that this series of Law and Order was from way back when, and so there was a lot of information on there which I thought, oh, maybe I don't know if you can say that now, or that's probably not how it's represented now, etc., etc. So I am going to take it with a pinch of salt, but it was a bit of a gut punch when they listed, and they listed LGBTQIA, and I was so buzzing, and then they gave the A to the allies. I was like, no! Detective Olivia Benson, of all people! And it was mentioned several times in the show that that, you know, the A stands for ally, and I'm going to be an ally.
I'm so, like we've said, and we can't emphasise it enough, we're so here for the allies. Please be an ally.
If you can be anything
in the world,
We are allies. We love
the
other letters. We are very supportive of all the other letters and what they represent and what they are. But there is a but in this sentence.
It is not a sexual orientation or identity. It is, do you know what it is? It's being a decent human being. That's what it is. And I don't know if it is part of the acronym.
When you look at the amount of work that the rest of the letters, like when you look at how much
it's
trauma trans people go through, and how much discrimination people go through, and how hard they have to fight, and how, like, I'm really proud of people who can do that as an ally to the other letters in the alphabet.
Yeah.
But it's just, it takes away, and it gives people who haven't necessarily had to fight for their identity, it gives them kind of a sticker, a well done sticker. But like, why do you need, like you said, why do you need a well done from being a nice person?
Yeah.
Why do you need a well done from saying to someone, you matter? Why do you need a well done when actually who I do not have sex with is none of your business? Like, if you want to be supportive, I've got a great group of friends who are supportive, and I would 100% give them a golden statue of allyship and love and admiration.
Yeah.
But they don't sit there and expect a letter. They don't sit there and say, I'm part of the LGBTQIA plus umbrella. They don't they don't say that, and I don't know if people need to say
They don't need the, I don't know if this is right, they don't need the representation.
No.
That could be a comment. But the thing is, but
just to, on the back of that, they also do have the representation, because if you actually look up the plus of LGBTQIA plus, right after our good old A right at the end there is another A, which does stand for ally, which, okay, I agree completely with what you said. Like, they not necessarily have a letter, but okay, if you do want that golden sticker, fine. That is your situation. But you can sit in the plus.
Yeah, you can be in the
you
corner.
Can sit in the back. Sit in the back row while the rest of us have to figure out
how
we're going to navigate our lives, because we're different.
I just see it as they're supporters of the community, not necessarily in the community.
Members of the community.
And I don't know how I sit with saying that. I don't know how I feel about that. However, that is a sentence that I feel like I want to say. And
it's hard, because you don't want to say the wrong thing. And sometimes saying the wrong thing is so easy, because sometimes for certain people, everything is the wrong thing to say. Yeah. And, you know, you have to tread on eggshells, because people get offended all the time. But there's, I know people who are lesbians who are allies to asexuals. Like, it's, and they don't, they're not identifying as the L and the A.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that there are people out there who are gay and trans, and they might just identify with the G, because that's it. Or they might just identify with the T. But all of the people who identify with a letter have had to go through some kind of questioning, and they might have had to go through some trauma and discrimination. Like, you don't go to the 2024 Validation. Ally parade. It's a pride parade, and you can be proud and be an ally, and you can celebrate all these wonderful people who have had to go through some kind of, and it might not have even, some people have really positive experiences when they figure out that they're gay, and they have really positive responses from loads of people, and there's no issues around that, but you don't know a person's individual struggle or individual journey with figuring out who they are, because when you grow up thinking that you're one thing, or thinking that you have to fit into a box of heterosexual, gonna meet someone, have a family, have a job, have a house and a dog, and you've grown up, and this is what is, I think, is slightly different about the generation that's growing up now compared to when we were growing up. You don't know what that person has gone through, and you don't know the struggle that they have, having an identity crisis. I mean, I'm 31 years old, and I'm just now figuring out who I am as a person, and that is insane.
Yeah.
And it's, some days, like we've already said, some days it's so easy to be me, and I'm so proud of myself. And other days, I do want to sit behind the camera.
Yeah.
And that's it. But taking that away from me by being a supportive person is not being a supportive person.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I feel very strongly
about
it.
That was really good.
But I do love the allies, and we need
them.
Yes,
absolutely. And
we're not here to offend, so.
No, and just as a visual, how I sort of see it is like, for some reason this has popped into my brain just now, is that, like, it's like a boxing ring. Not that I think about boxing a lot or see this as a boxing fight, but think of like a boxing ring, and you've got all of the LGBTQIA plus community in this ring fighting for what they believe in, and et cetera, et cetera. And then everyone who is watching this and cheering on is an ally, and they're in the positive situation and things. However, they're not in the boxing ring, which means they're not in the acronym for me.
Yeah.
Personally, that's sort of how I see it. It's like they're still there for us. They're still cheering us on. They're still having fun and partying
and we love them.
Priding with us. However, the people in the actual boxing ring and who is having to fight for validity. The other thing is allies don't really have to fight for their identity as an ally.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to fight and be like, I am an ally. Are you sure? Are you sure you've not just met the wrong person? Or I am an ally. Oh, should we get you medication for that? So they've not really, there is a word in somewhere in my head, but I can't quite think of it right now, but they've not really had the reprimanding?
Mm-hmm.
The reprimand? I don't know. Some the hardships, I guess.
Yeah, I like the boxing ring analogy. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. That's where we stand on that. It's a tricky one, but I feel like that. I've never really spoken about that either. So
I would be interested to see as well other people's opinions on that.
100%.
And if someone is coming from the perspective of an ally and does want a letter, which, you know, you're in there. You got your plus.
Yeah, you.
But
you
what take what it. Are your feelings about it? Like.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to hear other people's
because
opinions.
Because the thing that we've spoken about, and we've spoken about it in kind of many areas, and when we've looked at questions, and when we've been talking to each other about ourselves, we do have to remember to see it from the other person's point of view.
Should we go on to that?
Yeah.
That's a good conversation. So, actually, in an interview that I had with a podcast recently, they flipped it on its head and they asked me about how someone else might feel, or like how my partner might feel if I came out as ace to them, or basically how the other person will feel. How a non-asexual person will feel about being with an asexual, or, you know, just flipping it around and seeing what it's like in other people's shoes.
And again, like, it's what we've said, like, you know, off camera, is they're never gonna fully understand how we feel about certain things, and that's why I think our friendship is good, because in lots of ways we do understand, because we identify in similar ways. But in the same way, flip that, I'm never gonna understand fully how they feel about it. And I do think that it's important, for regardless of which side of the table that you're on, is try and understand the other person's perspective
and feelings,
and I think that's a situation you can apply, like, in so many different areas of life anyway. That's just in general, is like, how does my actions make you feel, and how do my actions make me feel? But I do think that is important, so it would really be interesting to know from the other side.
Yeah, and also I do think sometimes, like, especially for me, and I'm aware of it on my TikTok, it's all about us as asexuals, us as this, we feel like this, we feel like this. And I guess that, yeah, because that's all I know. However, I do think it's important for us to take into account the other people's feelings and how they might feel about it. Because when, say, you're in a relationship and the person that you're with is really into sex and, like, would love to have it at least 3 times a week, whereas you're like, oh, I would actually just rather not, to be honest. I think there are compromises to have, because if you love that person and you want to make them happy, you need to think about what can make them happy. Equally, they need to think about what will make you happy. So maybe that is a compromise of having it once every 2 weeks. Or, I don't know, it depends, doesn't it, like, on things. But say your partner wanted to have it at least 5 times a month, say. Maybe you say to him, we can have it 3 times a month.
And I think, or something like, it might even also be one of those situations where if you do have that conversation and that person is supportive, then that actually might change your preferences to it. And it might be that you go, you know what, this person is so accepting of the fact that I don't feel the same. That might make them more attractive to you, like, sexually attractive.
Yeah, and that might be the emotional bond that you need in order to
flip the switch, to be like, actually, no, I do want to have it more, especially with you now, because we've had this conversation. And I know I have seen quite a bit online, positive and negative, where allosexual people are in relationships with asexuals. And I think that asexual people, like I said before, our pond is a puddle, but actually if we felt more comfortable communicating it and we had that safe space to communicate it with people and people are allies to us, then it might actually be something that, like, ace people don't have to just date ace people. Allo people don't have to just date allo people. It could be that there is that, and I know that in real life there will be, because in real life there's people who are not asexual, who have low libido, who are in relationships and marriages with people with high libidos, and they make compromises and things like that.
Yeah.
You just have to communicate.
That's the whole thing on a relationship, isn't it? Communication's key and compromise is key. I am literally no one to talk because I've never been in a relationship, but I just imagine, and from having experiences of being close to people in relationships, communication and compromise, I think
you also have to evaluate, like, how much that person is going to compromise for you. So for me personally speaking, from experience, and again, this was long time before I knew anything about asexuality. It was when I was younger and I was in a relationship, and I was in this relationship for quite a long time with this person, and I knew at that point I did not really feel like I was very engaging in sex, and it wasn't something that I was too bothered about. And then obviously went out and got the news that I was being cheated on. And for a while, I think because of that lack of communication and also the lack of understanding on my part, because I didn't know what it was and it wasn't a very common thing, I allowed that to happen and allowed that situation to take place, because it was like it kind of took a pressure off of me to be like, well, I don't have to do it. And I don't have to compromise in this relationship. But then within me not compromising and not communicating, then he went out and then sort out things elsewhere.
There's two sides of you feeling that's okay because he's getting what I can't give him. And then there's the other side of you being like, but he's cheating on me.
Yeah, but then just, you know, there's also the side which I never really thought about until quite recently of, he had a girlfriend who didn't want to sleep with him or wasn't really engaging in sex with him as much. And how did that make him feel?
Yeah.
Obviously, not here to condone cheating on someone. I think probably would have rather just been broken up with. Yeah. But like, it is something that I do now think about. And it's like, actually, how did that make him feel? Because there wasn't that communication. And I was young. And when you're young, you don't know about communication. And you don't know about all of these different things. And that's the whole point of figuring out yourself when you're younger and dating and having boyfriends and girlfriends and things like that. But there wasn't that communication. And then there was the breakdown of the relationship. And there was a lot of pain and there was a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
So it is important to now sit back and think, I don't condone what he did and I don't agree with anyone who cheats on someone, but actually I forgive him.
You understand?
And maybe? I understand that he was possibly put in the same position that I was put in, but on the flip side of it.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is very interesting.
Maybe episode 5 we're going to dive straight into dating. Then, so if you have any dating questions, advice, stories, you know what to do. Thank you so much for listening, and keep supporting if you can, and message us. We would love to hear your opinions on that topic we were talking about of
LGBTQIA+.
Yep, that one. So feel free to get in touch, and hope you have a lovely rest of your week.